Well, thank you. So glad that you're here with us today because we're starting a brand new message series called FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. I know that some of you have been looking forward to this message series because I asked that you give me some questions, right? Give me some questions about the Bible, about God, about Jesus, whatever you ask me, and I will do my best to not answer. Okay, I'm not answering anything, but to respond to these, and you have not failed to deliver. I have a lot of questions that you submitted to me, and as I started working on trying to respond to these questions, it left me with, well, more questions, actually, but it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to do this and be a part of this. So frequently asked questions, here's your questions, and what I've done is I've taken them and I've put them in categories. So some questions all are asking about kind of the same thing. And so today we're going to have three questions we're going to go over, but they're all about the same topic, and the topic is the Holy Spirit. Thank you for everyone that asked me about this one, because the Holy Spirit is just this kind of weird thing that we don't know really much to do with. What do we do with this thing called the Holy Spirit? How do we categorize this whole thing? And even in trying to invite us into walking through these questions, before we get to the questions, let's just kind of do a little object lesson to kind of put in the mind frame how the Bible talks about the Spirit, okay? So it may seem a little, childish, or it may seem a little elementary, but it builds off of this thing, and my hope is that it will have paid dividends at the end, okay? So here's what I'm going to invite you to do, all right? I want you to just close your eyes. Nothing bad's going to happen to you. Just close your eyes. And then I want you to just take a deep breath in and let that breath out. Okay. Good. Everyone that did that, congratulations. You are alive. Right? Right? This breath that you take in and you let back out, it's a sign that you're living. And the way the Bible talks about that is that's a gift from God. God gives us this breath to live. Right? We take it in and we take it out. And as we use our imagination a bit, we can go like, well, what would that be like for God to breathe in and breathe out? And that word for breath, for spirit, for wind, it's one word in Hebrew. It's actually one word in Greek as well. And it has to do with this breath or this wind or, as it gets called, spirit. So that's just imagination a little bit, like let's make an object lesson, right? It doesn't answer everything for us, but at least we get a framework of this spirit working throughout the Bible. You see right in page one, that spirit is just hovering above this chaotic waters before order gets brought into being. The spirit is intimately connected with God speaking, right? Just like for us, when we speak, we have to have breath. Don't we? And then we manipulate that breath with our mouth and words come out, right? So it's intimately connected with a breathing out of a breath and then words being formed and then creation starts happening. There's this invisible thing that's happening, okay? We're building upon this breath idea, right? So we have this breath. It's being going out. It's creating things around that God speaks into being, including human beings, right? God creates and forms human beings and then breathes into this creation and it becomes a living, breathing thing, right? Okay? Now, that's true for every living creature. Like, it just all has the breath of life. So we breathe in, we breathe out. Thank you, God, for the gift of just life. But there's something unique about this spirit, God's spirit. It's set apart from any other type of spirit that might be out there. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit, right? It's God's very spirit. It's God's very breath, God's very presence and life, okay? And we see this showing up in a multiple different ways, but in connection with human beings about being, you know, poured out on them. Certain human beings have God's spirit on them to do certain things like tasks as well as ruling and things like that for that. Sometimes it's a group of people like the prophets speak on behalf of God. It's God's spirit that communicates with them and they speak out through that type of thing, okay? So we have all of that. But then something unique happens when it comes to Jesus. Jesus is the only one that's conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's different and unique, right? And it gives us this idea that it's God here with us. God's very presence creates life in this womb, and Jesus is born, human being, and now you have this unique one, this Son of God. It's God with us, who has also got the Holy Spirit coming on him, like at his baptism. The Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. The Holy Spirit is the one that commissions him to go out and do this ministry. The Spirit has anointed me, and I go and preach the good news and heal people. It's the Spirit that leads Jesus out into the wilderness to be tested by the devil, right? This bad spirit, right? So Jesus is following that Spirit's leading. All of this comes together when Jesus starts talking about what is going to happen, when he talks with his disciples, those that have experienced Jesus and they're trusting Jesus with their own lives and in a new way to live, he starts talking with them about what's going to happen, where he tells us that they'll receive this Holy Spirit to be with them, right? And it's interesting that they start becoming like, not just anointed on with the Spirit, like it's poured out on them, but now they're like filled with this Spirit, like it's within them, like the breath of life fills them. It's a new way to live. And it's that filling of the Spirit that brings us to our first question. Our first question is about how do I get to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which I think is kind of strange if you don't have the history behind it, right? If you just come out of nowhere and go, like, how do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? What does that even mean? Right? There's something that you're breathing in and it becomes part of your life and it gives you your very life. That's exactly what Jesus talks about, that it's through trusting in him that then he will give those who trust in him his Spirit and they're to take it in, to receive it. John chapter 14 lays this out really nicely and gives more context. I'm going to just jump to the end part of it here that we have in verse 25. I tell you these things. He's been talking about the Holy Spirit coming and being given to them and that as they obey him, if they're going to obey him, they'll follow the Spirit's leading. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you, because obviously he's not going to be with them. He's going to die and go up into heaven after he's raised again. But the Father, God the Father, sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. So God's Spirit is going to be sent after Jesus goes up into heaven, okay? The Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. He's talking to this group of people that believe and trust in him, that he is the Son of God, that he is God with them, that he gives them a life to live, one and teaching to be obedient to, but what are they going to do when he is not present anymore? Well, that's okay. You've got the Holy Spirit that will teach you and remind you of everything that you've been taught. Right? It's helping them to live in this new way. And I say that way because of what happens after Jesus does die and he's raised again. He meets with this group of disciples, and something really unique happens, and this is where we get this idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but what does that filling actually do? So here's what he says in John chapter 20, verse 22. Then he, Jesus, breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Breathed on them. The last time that we heard something like this is in Genesis chapter 2 when God was forming human beings out of the ground and he breathed the breath of life into them. And this is different, right? This is very different. This is a group of people that trust who Jesus is and now they see the resurrected Jesus and he breathes on them and they are to receive his breath with presumably is what? The breath of God, right? the Holy Spirit. And they're taking it in. It becomes a new way for them to move and live and to breathe, right? It becomes this new life in them. They had life already, right? They were walking around breathing. But this becomes a new life for them as they accept or receive this Holy Spirit into their lives. That what does what? It teaches and then reminds them of the teaching, right? Everything that Jesus taught them. And they start living this out. These followers of Jesus that have experienced Jesus and receive this new life through the Spirit that they've breathed into them, that's given them new life, they start seeing how the Spirit gives them and does grows things in them and produces things in them in a new way that they didn't experience before. And so they write this down in a letter called Galatians. In Galatians 5, 22 and following, it says this: the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Now, some of you may know this list, right? But I'm going to go through it painstakingly slow, right? It produces these things in your lives. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It grows this in you. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and my favorite, self-control. Here's a little side note. I think the self-control one is put on there last, because if you can get that one figured out well, you can do the other ones, right? I need to get more self-control to be more loving. I can be more self-control to be more patient, to be more gentle and kind. Have this goodness, yeah? I don't know. It's just my idea. I could be wrong on that. Right? But this is the stuff that's being produced in these people that have said, I trust Jesus, and I'm received and accepted the Holy Spirit into my life like a breath taking in, and it's produced new things in me, a new life, a new way to live. It's teaching me this, and then it's reminding me of those teachings, right? It's growing this in me. That's not where it ends. And they're not done with this. In the next verse, verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, right? Specifically having this trust in Jesus. Those who belong in Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Something has died, yeah? But there's new life that's here because you breathed it in. Since we are living by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, let us will follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It's an ongoing thing. It's a new way to walk, right? You're following a different leading than your own leading because you've died to those things. You've been filled with it. So how are you filled? How are you filled with this Holy Spirit? It's really simple. It's this trust and accept idea. You trust Jesus of who he is, and you accept the Holy Spirit that he gives you to live in a new way, right? In a new way, the way that he instructs us to live, and that Holy Spirit teaches you what that is and reminds you what that is. And it's like breathing for you. It becomes this new way of living. It's a new life. You're filled with it. Which brings me, interestingly, to their second question today. I love this question. This is a great question, right? I put it up here in its fullness. I love that it gave me context. It was really helpful, actually. How do you become more filled with the Holy Spirit? Great question. Great question. I'll show you why it's such a great question. So they say, I ask for this regularly, which is part of Luke 11, 13. We're going to take a deeper look at that. And I know God is faithful. He's going to help me to have more of this Holy Spirit. But what can I do as I wait? Waiting for the Holy Spirit to fill me more. I've asked for the Spirit, I'm going to do it. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 11. I shouldn't put in context of 11, 13, and 11, 11 through 13, okay? You fathers or parents, you know, if your children asks for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. That's silly. No parents out there do that. So if you sinful people, which I always, you know, thanks Jesus for that. Call me sinful, get it? So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You're going to ask for the Holy Spirit, right? Asking it so that you can receive it, so that you accept it into your life. You know this is a way to live. And I love the question. I love the honesty of the question, right? I'm faithfully asking God, and I know God is going to be faithful to give me the Holy Spirit. But what do I do while I wait? Now, I've thought about this a little bit, and I've connected with my own life. I'm like, you know what? You know, sometimes it does feel like I need more of the Holy Spirit, right? I'm trying to live. I feel like I've taken the Holy Spirit in. I feel like I've accepted that, but it's a struggle. Like all of that stuff being produced in me, sometimes it just doesn't feel like it's enough, right? Like enough of the Spirit to produce this stuff, this good stuff that we just talked about, to live in this new way. It feels like it's inadequate. I need more. I need more of the Holy Spirit. But the way the question is phrased, I love it because it just connects with me in such a deep level. What do I do while I wait? What is one of the fruits, the things that the Spirit produces in us? Patience. Are you seeing it now? You've asked for the Holy Spirit, and now you're waiting. How does the Holy Spirit produce patience in someone? Wait for it. Yeah, waiting. Like, I think that the prayer, the question is being answered in the question itself, right? I ask for the Holy Spirit. And it's not that the Spirit isn't there, there's not enough of it. It's there, but it's teaching you how to be more patient through waiting. And then reminding you, remember, you got to wait. You got to wait on it. You've asked for the Spirit, and the Spirit, the answer is yes, because now you're waiting. Yeah. So maybe, just maybe, this, again, I'm just responding. I don't know that this is a full answer to it, because I think in a lot of areas of our life, it feels like the Holy Spirit in us, as Jesus follows, just doesn't feel like it's enough. Right? I keep trying, and there's so many things in life that make me angry, that cause me to lose my temper, or that I'm not as gentle or kind in, or I don't feel, you know, a lot of joy or love here, those types of things, like, right? I feel like I don't have the self-control that I need, so I need more and more, and like, I just wonder, if it's not about needing more of the Holy Spirit, but following the Spirit's leading more. Maybe it's not about having more of the Holy Spirit, but following the Holy Spirit more. Paying attention, like, I'm waiting for this. It doesn't seem to be happening. Right? I really feel impatient. Why isn't it coming? Feels a long way off. How is the Spirit, who you've breathed in, a part of your life now, teaching you something in that? Maybe it is patience. But maybe it's also gentleness. But maybe it could be about being loving in those times. Following the Spirit's leading in this might be what we need more. Yeah? Are you seeing this build up here? Right? We're building towards something. You've got an idea of what this Holy Spirit is this life that we're given, and God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit gives us this life. It's a beautiful gift. Not just the breath that we take in, but in a way to live according to Jesus' teachings and God's Spirit leading, teaching us and reminding us of those teachings, producing this stuff in us. We get to experience this amazing life filled with joy and love and patience and self-control and all of that stuff. And yet there's a struggle that goes on as we're like, man, am I there? Am I doing that? And sometimes we fail at it, don't we? Not as patient we'd like to be. We do lose our temper and say things we don't really want to say, no matter how much we mean them, we don't want to say them, right? All of that. And it brings us to this third question, which I think once we have an understanding of how the Spirit's working, it makes it a lot more impactful. The third question is this. Is there a sin that is unforgivable? And some of us are going like, how is that connected to the Holy Spirit, right? Is there a sin that's unforgivable? I think this comes from a background of teaching called these mortal sins, sins that you commit that you cannot be forgiven for. And if we put it in the context of, okay, God's Spirit is producing this stuff in me, but when I fail at it, could I fail in such a way that I do something that would be unforgivable, right? I think that's the thing that we're asking about. And actually, it has everything to do with God's Spirit. Everything to do with God's Spirit. Jesus is actually going to talk to us and tell us, yes, there is an unforgivable sin. But I think it's different than the way we think about it. In fact, I want to give you some context to put this in a good frame. Jesus has been healing people, and he's been casting out demons or evil spirits or unclean spirits. He's been doing that, and some of the religious leaders of his day are trying to figure out how or where Jesus gets his power to be able to cast out these evil spirits. And their thought is that he has the power to cast out these evil spirits because he gets that power from the evil spirit, like the devil, like the Satan has given him this power to cast out these spirits. And that's exactly where Jesus takes this for them, to help answer this question, is there a sin that's unforgivable? So this is Matthew chapter 12. He says, anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. What does that mean, right, to speak against? Some translations talk about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, right? Speaking against the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? We've just been on a little overview course of the Holy Spirit's work, right, in creating life, in creating life in Jesus and for our trust in him, right? And we breathe that Spirit in and it gives us life, right? The speaking against the Spirit is exactly what the religious leaders did of his day, of Jesus' day, and said, the Holy Spirit is actually an evil spirit. Do you see the huge danger in that? They're identifying God's very presence as life-giving power of the Holy Spirit as that's actually evil. Yeah, how do you get forgiven of that? Right? You can't even recognize good from bad. In fact, what you see is bad is actually good, and what you think is good is might be bad. Like, there's just no hope in that. Is there a sin that you can commit? Is there some failing in not being patient enough or not being loving enough or failing at controlling the words that come out of your mouth and all that causes you to be unforgiven? No. But if you come to a place where you're like, you know what? Jesus is actually offering death, not life. The Holy Spirit of God is actually an evil spirit. How can you be forgiven of that? Yeah. So the hope is, which I think most of us are in this place, that we may struggle with living in God's Spirit or having God's Spirit grow this stuff in us, but that's not a sign that we're going to be unforgiven. It's a sign that we've already been forgiven, and we've accepted and received God's very Spirit. We just have a tough time following that Spirit sometimes, yeah? So here's what I think would be helpful. This is just my thought, anyway. As I was working through this, and I ended with this, and I'm like, you know, what do I really need? What do I need as just an individual? I trust Jesus with my life. I do. I also want to follow the Spirit's leading in all areas of my life. I want to do that. I may fail at that at times, but I really want to come back there. I want the Spirit to continue to teach me and to remind me and to produce this fruit in me, even though it's going to be hard to produce this fruit at times, yeah? And it feels like it's taking longer than I'd like it to take, right? what do I need to do? And this may feel a little silly, but I think it's having a posture of receiving, right? Jesus breathed on his disciples, those who trusted in him, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. I think it would be best for us to put ourselves in a posture of receiving. Yeah? So here's my invitation. If you want to do this, you don't have to, but is to put yourself in a posture of receiving, to put your arms out, your hands out like this. And I'm just going to utter a little prayer about receiving God's Spirit, right? That's all it is. And you can stand if you want. You could stay seated. It's okay, right? And we're just going to not just ask for, but receive and accept God's Spirit. So I just have a little prayer that I made up. I'm going to say it twice because sometimes it takes a couple times. So let's just put ourselves in a posture of receiving. And I'll just say this prayer. Jesus, I trust you with my life. And I accept your Spirit to lead me in every area of my life. Jesus, I trust you with my life. And I accept the Holy Spirit to lead me in every area of my life. Amen.